Chuck is going to lead us in prayer, and then we will begin our study this morning.
Let us pray. Father, again, we are grateful to you for who you are. And Father, we do acknowledge that we do need to take the time and say thank you. Thank you for your grace, your love, your majesty, your mysteries, your holy word, and love. Father, so many things, so many wonderful things. And one of them at this moment and for this day and this hour is the privilege of being able to come here and study a portion of your word. Again, Father, we ask that you open our minds. Help us to receive what you'd have us to receive, knowing that your instruction is true, that your instruction is not up to debate. Your instruction is for our well-being. Help us, Father, to gain wisdom, understanding, and purpose when we hear your word. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Last time we were discussing looking in chapter 4, in this section that really begins in verse 17, where Paul is writing about how we are to be living our life. And keep in mind that he's talking about on a daily basis, okay? How our life should be lived. And we need to understand it in that way, because really a couple of things. Number one, we're not always going to, do what we're supposed to do. As hard as we may try, we have battles that Satan is engaging us in, and so there are days when we're not going to do it very well. Okay? But those days need to be the exception rather than the rule in our life. Okay? So when he's talking about how we are living here and the things we're supposed to do, he's talking in the general sense of how our life should be on a day-to-day basis. And you think about it in terms of, and I've talked about this before, but it's been a while, it's the difference between a video and a picture. Okay? There are going to be pictures that, would be taken at any moment in our life that we would go, well, I sure wish he didn't take that picture, okay, because that's not a good time. But when you look at the whole video of our daily life, that shows the whole picture, okay? It shows the what we're doing, again, for the whole day, for the whole week, or for, generally speaking, how we live our life from day to day. Okay, that tells the true picture rather than a snapshot of a time that we're misbehaving. Does everybody understand what I'm saying there? So understand that in these things that Paul is talking about, it's our everyday life. Okay, how we are to live day to day on a regular basis. And so we looked at the part where he's basically contrasting the way that we used to live to the way that we need to be living in Christ, okay? So he says that we cannot any longer live like the Gentiles or those who are pagans, those who are outside of God. He can't do that anymore. Why? Because we have put on Christ. All right? He talks about taking off our old self and putting on the new self, all right? And so in verse 25, and we were talking about this particular section last time, the word therefore, as he starts out, based on the fact that we have taken off the old self and put on the new self, we're living in a relationship with Christ, he says, therefore, all right? And then all these things he's going to say in the next several verses have to do with the fact that we are now living in a relationship with Christ. And so living the way we used to is no longer acceptable. Now here's the way we need to be living, all right? So he says, first of all, you got to put off falsehood and speak truthfully to our neighbors. He says we're all members of one body. And then last time we talked about this whole anger part, remember us discussing, he says, in your anger do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. So remember we talked about the fact that anger is an emotion, and anger in and of itself is not sinful. It's what we do when we are angry. It's the behavior that comes from our anger that can be sinful. And by the way, I think I mentioned this last time, that the same thing is true of any emotion that we have. All right? We can be full of joy and do some things in our, you know, exuberance that are sinful. Okay? And that's not acceptable any more than being angry or sinning when we're angry. Okay? So again, the point here is, it's not the emotion. The emotions that we have are given to us by God. Right? It's the fact that we need to control our emotions and not let them control us. All right? So don't sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. Because once he gets in there, he can wreak havoc in our lives. And you think about the people whose lives have been just really messed up because of, you know, their not controlling their emotions in the way that they are responding and reacting to things. Okay? So we'll move on from there. The next thing that he talks about is, verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So stealing apparently was a way of life for a lot of people. Okay, and again, he's talking to folks who were living as a pagan, in a pagan lifestyle, and now have been converted to Christ. For some people, that was a way of life. That's how they managed to get along, is to steal. Okay? They're not working, they're stealing. Aren't you glad we don't have that problem today? Yeah. Yeah, it's a big problem today. See? What he's saying here is, for the Christian, that's not acceptable. Okay? You need to work. Right? You need to do something. Notice he says do something productive or useful with your hands. I ask you pardon. My sinuses have been giving me some hassles here, so I'm not sure I'm going to make it through or not. The idea here is that, again, the purpose of this is that we may have something to share with those in need. Okay? You see a contrast there between the person who is stealing, they're not working, they're not producing, you know, so they're not able to help other people. All right? And his point here is, as one body, we need to be helping one another. Amen. You see, we need to be helping those who are in need. There are always going to be those who are less fortunate, who don't have as much as others, and we need to be doing what we can to be looking after and helping those who are in need. Okay, and so the idea here is to be productive in whatever you are doing. Now think about it in this term for just a moment. Okay, there are different ways to steal, are there not? Okay. We typically think of stealing as being taking some physical object or item from somebody else, right? And that, when we think about stealing, that's typically what we both think about. But are there other ways to steal?
Yeah. You can steal somebody's identity.
Okay.
You can steal somebody's invention.
Okay. All right.
They're different things.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking about, is the idea of stealing someone's joy and happiness. Stealing, just the idea of taking away, stealing somebody's time. know? We talk about it as being wasting time, but sometimes people are guilty of stealing somebody else's time and their energy. In other words, if you're getting someone else to do what you otherwise could and should be doing for yourself, then aren't you stealing from somebody that's having to do that for you? Because they're taking their time and energy to do what you should be doing for yourself. And I think that's part of what he's talking about here. You say, it's still stealing. You're taking something from somebody else that isn't yours. And the point here is because you're not working. Because you're not doing, you're not being responsible for yourself. Right? So again, this is something that, you know, saying you can't do this any longer. You can't live this way any longer. Alright? Alright, now, verse 29. We want to spend some time in this next section here, okay? Because this has to do with our speech. Alright, look at what he says here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful or helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Alright, now, there are four things that Paul is telling us about in this particular verse. Alright, let's break it down. The first thing that he says here is do not let any unwholesome talk out of your mouth. Okay? Now, what would you consider to be unwholesome talk?
Swearing.
Swearing?
Crude jokes.
Crude jokes?
Gossiping.
Gossip? That's one that, you know, we got to be really careful about, because that's something that Christians, church people fall into real easy. Okay, but that's an unwholesome talk. What else? Anything else?
Lies.
Lies, okay. Anything else?
You can say swearing.
Do what now?
Did somebody say swearing?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, cursing, swearing, those kind of things. How about criticism?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? Now, sometimes criticism is necessary, right? But we got to be real careful mm-hmm. about being overly critical of people mm-hmm. because of something else that he's going to say here, okay, in this verse. So we need to understand, unwholesome talk, it's not just cursing and swearing, but it's a lot of other stuff involved there. Mm-hmm. And notice that he says, don't let it come out of your mouth. Okay? If it's unwholesome, keep it to yourself.
Yes.
All right? Don't even say it. So if you're thinking something unwholesome, what do you need to do? Zip it. Just zip it. Don't say it. Just keep it to yourself. All right? Some of y'all are like me. You're pretty old. I don't know if you remember the movie Bambi. Y'all remember Bambi?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, remember Thumper, the rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
And Thumper was always, you know, saying stuff that he really shouldn't have been saying. And Thumper's mother says to him, Thumper, what did your father say? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Okay? Well, you know, Walt Disney and the people there are not the ones that came up with that. Neither did Thumper's dad. Okay? The Apostle Paul came up with it long before then. Because mm-hmm. that's what he's saying. If it's unwholesome, don't say it.
Amen.
Don't let it come out of your mouth. Okay? Now, what's the second thing that he says here? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Right? The second thing is, but only what is helpful for building others up. So, whatever does come out of our mouth, okay, it needs to be something that is encouraging or building other people up.
Okay.
All right? So the first thing is, if it's unwholesome, just zip it. Don't say it. But whatever does come out of your mouth needs to be something that is useful or helpful to encourage and build other people up.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody got that? The third thing that he says here, we're building them up according to what? According to what?
Their needs.
There's an emphasis there we need to put. According to their needs. Okay? Their needs. Now, why do I say it that way? Because too often times we say things to build someone up according to
our
needs. We have a phrase, a term for that, don't we? Mm-hmm. What is it? It's called buttering people up. You heard that term, right? Mm-hmm. We butter someone up, you see, and the idea is that because we want something from them, so we try to make them feel good so they will give us what we want. Mm-hmm. And that's the opposite of what Paul is saying here. Whatever does come out of your mouth, you make sure that it's useful for building others up according to their needs, not yours.
Well...
So you look at what their needs are, and you encourage them based on what they need, not what you need or want. Okay? And then the fourth thing. That is, whatever it is that you say, might benefit those who listen. Okay? Now, why is that so important? Because you never know what pictures are hanging around that have ears. You're familiar with that statement, right? That pictures have ears? That there are, you know, other people that may hear what you're saying, and you've got to decide, is that beneficial to them? Or is it something that would be destructive to them? You say, or hurtful to them by hearing what you just said. Now, think about that for a second and give me some examples or ideas that come to your mind. How can that be? What are some things that we can say that would be hurtful to someone else that we need to be real careful about? Any ideas on that? Do what? What are some things that, you know, we could say in some situations where maybe we're saying something to one person, but somebody else we don't even realize is hearing it, and it's not being beneficial to them? I'll give you an example. Long, long time ago, all right, Cindy and I were having a discussion, all right, and it was a heated discussion. We were arguing, okay? I cannot tell you what we were arguing about. I don't even remember. Okay? My son was in middle school at the time. And he heard us arguing, and he came in there and was crying and said, Are you guys going to get a divorce? You know, because he had a lot of friends in school, and he knew what divorce was, and the friends in school, a lot of them whose parents were divorced. And he heard us arguing because he knew enough that when parents argue, they get divorced because they argue all the time. So he concluded from us having this argument that we might get a divorce. And when he said that, we was like, no, what do you mean? We're not going to get a divorce. We're just fussing at one another. Well, you know what? We were fussing in ways that we shouldn't have been fussing. You see? And that's an example of how something, you know, we're having a discussion and didn't realize that he was listening. And it certainly was not beneficial to him. Okay? So that's what I'm talking about. We need to be aware of situations like that. Maybe we're talking to a coworker, you know, about something or somebody. Okay, maybe how crummy this place is that we work for is, or what have you. Well, you got, you know, maybe a younger employee, a new employee that's just started with the company and is all excited about working for them and so forth. They don't know about some of these things, and so now all of a sudden they're worrying about this new employer that they work for because they're hearing all this negative stuff about them. Is that beneficial to that person?
No.
Not at all. Judy?
Well, it doesn't necessarily need to be something negative that we're saying. And for example, you may discuss somebody in a positive way, and they overhear, but they get offended because you're talking behind their back.
Right.
Whether it was something good you said,
or
trying to help somebody in a way, but they overheard it and they don't, you know, you're talking behind my back.
Yeah.
And I think that falls in the same category.
Sure, absolutely. And sometimes people don't hear the whole story. They hear part of it and they start, you know, putting pieces together that don't go together because they don't have the whole picture, and they start making conclusions, and it's not helpful to them to build them up. You know, gossip, that's one reason why gossip is so sinful, and it is. You know, because we're talking about someone and somebody else is hearing it, and then they, you know, it's not helpful, it's not beneficial to building them up. So the point here that Paul is telling us is we need to be really careful about what we're saying, and we need to pay special attention to, you know, who else might be around us hearing this. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that it's okay for us to kind of do this. Nobody's here, so now I can say whatever I want to hear, whatever I want, because nobody's here to hear me. No. Why? Because the first thing he says, if it's unwholesome, what? Don't say it. Okay? So when you look at those four things, I am convinced, and I've said this many times before, and especially in doing marriage seminars, I'm convinced that if we would just obey this one passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4:29, it would resolve a whole lot of problems in relationships that people have.
Amen.
Just this one passage. All right? Be careful of what you say and how you say it. All right? Is that important? Chuck?
Yeah. Maybe you need to, you don't want to look over your, like you're going to say something wrong, but there are discussions that you need to have. You need to make sure that you're alone with that person. That
yeah.
Because it's between you and them, you know.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about sin or some kind of problem like that. But this right here, we're going to work on for the rest of our days here on earth.
Oh, yeah.
This is something we're going to struggle with and mature in. And it's good to have this discussion and we're talking about, but we're going to mess up and we're going to have to be humbled. And being humbled in these circumstances is not fun.
Yeah.
But it is beneficial because that burn does help correct us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, that time with our son, when that whole thing happened, you talk about humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but you're right. This is something that, and I think that's why Paul mentions it here, it's something that is, it's a struggle for us. You know, look at what James has to say about our speech and our talk, and it gets you into all kinds of trouble. But yes, there are times when we do need to go to somebody and correct behavior or what have you. We're called upon that by Christ to do so, are we not? Okay, if your brother sins, do what? Go and show him his fault. Help me out here. Anybody remember the next part?
And if he listens?
No, before that, just between the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay? Just between the two of you. Go to them. Talk to them. Are you criticizing them? Yes. But it's necessary. But we have to be careful about how we do it. You say? We've got to be careful. Make sure that what we're doing is to build them up. Okay?
I was going to say also, you know, positive talk can positive talk,
okay, positive talk
to somebody can also benefit somebody that's listening.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they may be in a similar situation that you're discussing with somebody, and it can uplift somebody that you're not even aware of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so, again, we need to be paying attention to what we're saying, how we're saying it, because you never know who might be listening. All right. Any other thoughts on that at all?
We need his wisdom for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're a counselor. I mean, communication and tone and delivery and body language. But I think it really comes to the heart, though. If your heart, if you go if you do it with agape love, then with His help, you will do it correctly.
Right. The problem though, yeah, the if, because go back up a couple of verses here, and what did He say about, you know, anger don't sin? Mm-hmm. You see that sometimes something happens and we get angry, and then we don't follow this one, you see, because we say things that are unwholesome in our anger and so forth, and so you see how one thing can lead to another. So we need to be, that's why in your anger don't sin, okay? Be careful of that. Because that can lead to other problems and other sins. Charlie?
Yes, that Chuck was saying, first of all, you got to ask God to humble you
right.
to go to that person.
Yes.
Because you don't know how. I have made mistakes with my girls, my grandgirls. You know, as they were growing, mm-hmm. still getting into stuff that you're not supposed to get into. I see it or I hear about it and I'm angry.
Right.
And I might go to them at that angle, but then I have to turn that around. Because I'm not teaching them anything. You know, I'm not showing them the correct way. I'm not showing them the way right. that God wants them,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, to go. So I had to, many a times, talking to family members or people on the outside. I might went to you first in anger because you just blurt everything out.
Right.
But you got to go around. You got to change. You got to say You got to use those words, those little words,
right.
two little words, I'm sorry.
Sorry, right.
You know, forgive me. Yeah. Let me explain to you what I was really trying to say.
Absolutely.
I had to do that many times.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be that big macho person or thinking you're right about everything
right.
all the time because we are not.
Yeah. Or if they hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have, you know, make excuses for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, in all of these instructions that He's given here, there's no room for excuses, is there?
No.
He just says, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I think this is such an important thing for parents.
Oh, yeah.
Watch what He's saying because little ears are listening.
That's right.
And don't be surprised if they come up with a speech that shocks you if you're doing the same thing and that's where they're learning it from.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's, but we need to also say that it's not just little ears that listen, it's ears that listen.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when our daughter Katie was in kindergarten, and one of the things that she really liked to do when she was that age is she liked to pretend that she was a teacher in school. So she would play school with Kyle being her student, okay? And so, you know, isn't that cute? You know, she's, you know, and we were sitting there watching her one day, you know, with Kyle, and she's telling him stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, she just starts fussing at him. Now, you need to stop, you know, and she just laid into him, and we're going, what in the world? Where does that come from? Well, come to find out, that's how her teacher in school talked to the kids. You know, and so in her little mind, that's what teachers do. They yell at the kids. You know, and that's a perfect example of how, you know, that certainly was not beneficial. You know, but we see how the effects of that carry over to other situations. You know, here again, in her mind, you know, that's what teachers do. You know. So again, be really, really careful about your speech. That's what Paul is saying here. Kathy?
Unfortunately, we're having a situation with our own family overseas, and we can't talk to one another. We text, you know, and email each other. And I'm trying my best to find, like in Galatians, you know, love, joy, peace, trying to build the person up, and I'm not finding the words that are comforting her because she's not a Christian at all.
Right.
And so I have to just go to the Word. And many times I'll say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. Holy Spirit, help me. Give her a scripture because she knows that I am, and she needs to hear. And many times when words are at a loss for me, I just have to go straight to the Word and ask, what's a good verse here? And, you know, I'll ask her, what's a good verse here in this situation? Because they can't argue with that,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And in this situation here, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't, you know, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth. That's not going to help your relationship. And give her the scripture that goes with it. And that way they can't come back on me and say,
right.
You know, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, you got to argue with somebody else. So there you go. A lot of times scripture will help too.
Oh, absolutely. And we need to be turning to the Lord for his guidance and wisdom. And, you know, sometimes how do I deal with this person or this situation? Because I don't know. Chuck?
And again, probably for a lot of us, we come to realize now as we're here in this classroom, it's never too late to go to the Word and seek understanding. Again, unfortunately, the people who need the guidance and the wisdom and the instruction and all that that the Holy Scripture provides are the ones who don't read it.
Right.
And they won't accept the fact that this is necessary for a better life.
Yeah.
And that applies to us too.
Yeah.
We have to take the time to read it. It's not gonna, like back in high school when you're desperately hoping that trigonometry is gonna osmose into
yeah.
your head. It doesn't happen that way. You gotta read it, you gotta apply it, you gotta, and again, some of those concepts are out there. And so, when reading the scriptures, some of these concepts may be out there for you. But again, we have people here who can help you with that. And so, shame on us if we're not there trying to understand what God is trying to do for us so that you don't find yourself in these situations.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. While you were saying that, I was thinking about it. I think there's too many Christians who want the Cliff Notes version of the Bible. You know, rather than the whole thing, you know, just give me the headlines here. Okay, so we need to be careful about how we talk. All right, look at the next thing, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit?
I think of the word grieve as like, you just give me grief. You make me remorseful. You make me sorry that I da-da-da-da-da, whatever it was that I did. And what a sad situation that would be to grieve the Holy Spirit, making him regret or be sad that his gift of peace was put on you and you're mistreating it.
Yeah.
You're mistreating him.
Yeah.
You're mistreating his job for you if you don't look to him.
Absolutely. John?
I guess in a sense, to help give you a physical example of this. So, your mother makes you a special dish, and you realize it takes a time to get the ingredients, to put it together, and it's something you just can't whoop up in 5 minutes. It took a great deal of time and effort to do this. She sets it on a nice plate in front of you, and you take it and dump it on the table and ask it for another one.
Something else or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, don't grieve
right.
the Holy Spirit. You know, we have been given great gifts from the Holy Spirit. Don't take it and throw it on the table.
Yeah.
You know, shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Here's an important thing that this verse also tells us. I don't know if you ever realized this or not. The Holy Spirit is not some inanimate object.
He's a person.
Okay? He's a person. Okay? You cannot grieve an inanimate object, okay? In order for something or someone to be grieved, they have to be a person.
Right.
Okay? So that should tell us who the Holy Spirit really is. Alright? He's not just a thing, he's not just some power out there that, you know, works in some mysterious way. He is part of the personhood of Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to be grieved.
Right.
Okay, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand the Holy Spirit that way. So we're talking about, and we so often, I mentioned, and we talk so much about having a relationship with God. Okay, well, you know, the Holy Spirit is part of God. We need to be thinking in terms of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And such a relationship that I don't want to do anything that would cause the Holy Spirit to grieve about me. That I'm living in such a way that the Holy Spirit is not going to grieve. He's going to be content. I'm not going to do anything that's going to throw in his face what he has done for me. You see? And take that, you know, plate or whatever that, you know, and just toss it away and just to discredit and discount it like it's nothing. You see? One of the things that unfortunately too many Christians do that I'm convinced grieves the Holy Spirit is that they deny his power working in our lives. Okay? I don't see how that could not grieve the Holy Spirit. When he's there to say, I've got all this power that I want to use and give you in your life, and we're going, Holy Spirit can't work in my life. You know? We're denying that. All right, Judy?
I think sometimes we don't look for the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our daily activities.
Yeah.
You know, there are things, for example, at the Friday class that we have, there are things that come out of my mouth and I know it's not coming from me.
Yeah.
You know, or I do something that I know it's not coming from me. If you look for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will experience him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, you're on a team and you know, you got a player that's really good, but because maybe of, you know, friendships or whatever, you're not putting the one in there that really needs to be in there. And so he's over there eventually going, come on, coach, come on, pick me. Let me get in the game. Come on, let me get in. And we're ignoring him because, you know, again, you know, well, this kid, you know, his daddy is so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, so we ignore the one who's over there going, put me in the game, put me in the game. And we don't put him in the game. And how often do we do that to the Holy Spirit? When he's sitting over there going, I got power, I can give you what you need for this. Put me in the game there. And we're ignoring him.
He also grieves the Holy Spirit too. When you're blessed with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is guiding you,
right,
don't you get so puffed up.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians, they do that. You know, you have this knowledge. You know, you know,
mm-hmm,
you're passing this way, but you're so puffed up.
Yeah.
You know, that you're not even believing what you're saying because you're too much within yourself.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful of that too, because you grieve the Holy Spirit that way too.
And the one sin that we refer to as the unpardonable sin, okay, that Jesus talks about, do y'all know what that is? Well, what is the unpardonable sin? Do what? It's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, okay? And that blasphemy specifically that Jesus, you know, called the Pharisees on was that they were saying that the work that Jesus was doing was by Satan. You say? When the work that Jesus was doing was actually by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, of all other sins, you'll be forgiven, but you will not be forgiven of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, you know, we need to be real careful about how we treat the Holy Spirit. That's Paul's point here. Notice that he says here, what did the Holy Spirit do for them? What has he done for us? What does he say here? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by which what happened? You were sealed for what? For the day of redemption. Okay? Don't grieve the one who sealed your redemption for you. Okay? You need to realize how important, how significant the Holy Spirit is to your daily life. And unfortunately, too many church people don't realize that. They're not depending on the power of the Spirit in their lives. They're trying to go it alone. You say, Chuck, you have your hand up.
What Charlotte's talking about, you know, getting puffed up. Well, you know, God's Spirit humbles us. He humbled you in front of your child. He humbled me in front of my children. He humbles us when we run our mouths when we're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. That's why Charlotte says that she goes back and apologizes.
Yeah.
You know, when she fesses up. Well, that's what makes these people grieve. They don't mind speaking and people, you know, recognizing, wow, you know, you speak from God. I mean, that's an awesome honor. Mm-hmm. But how about when you're humble? You know, that's when you, he makes me feel guilty. He's leading me in a way I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You know, because we all know he leads us.
Yeah, if we allow him to, he will.
Well, we're fine if he's going the way we want to go, but when we don't, that's when we start, you know, that's when it's a drag, you know.
Yeah.
You break the seal. You break your relationship with God. You can't have relationships. We rely on the Holy Spirit for our eternal life.
Exactly. Because we can't do it on our own.
We won't make it to heaven without him.
And so without the power of the Holy Spirit working in our daily lives, again, there's the emphasis that he's talking about how we live day to day. We need the Holy Spirit living and working within us daily. Mm-hmm. You see? So that we can be doing what God wants to be doing. Anybody that's powerful enough, strong enough to do that on your own? If you think you can do it without the Holy Spirit, good luck on that. Okay? So we need to understand that so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. All right? Judy, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Yeah. If we can't see the Holy Spirit out in our own life, look at the lives of the apostles. Look at the meek and unknown disciples and the change the Holy Spirit brought to the apostles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you see two different personalities there. And then take this and apply it to your life and see where you were at and where the Holy Spirit has brought you already.
And
you see the difference.
Absolutely.
You know, you see the work that the Holy Spirit has done in your life.
Yeah, you go back to the day of Pentecost or actually go back 50 days before that or 10 days before that. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, just before that, his disciples asked Jesus, what? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't understand, right? And then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes and it's like the light goes on, right?
Exactly.
You ever had that happen to you? Or, you know, all of a sudden, you know, something that's just not been understandable or clear to you, just the light goes on. It's like, Holy Spirit does work in our lives. We need to make sure we do not grieve him. Okay? Now, before we run out of time, let's finish this next section here. Verse 31. Alright? Now, here's a list. Again, keep in mind, he's talking about our daily life. Though remember, earlier we saw when he talks about we've taken off our old self, alright, which is corrupted, and we put on the new self. So he says, in doing that, we need to get rid of some stuff out of our life. In other words, these things are not acceptable for those who belong to Christ. All right? So he says, get rid of these things. Bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You know what malice is? What is malice? Do what? Hate or ill will is what malice is. Okay? He says you got to get rid of all of that stuff out of your life. Those things are not acceptable for those who belong to Christ. All right? Then, what's he do next?
Replace it.
He gives us something to replace all of that stuff with, doesn't he? All right? Be kind and compassionate to one another. All right? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, here's something, notice about this, that we've got to understand. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to Christians, right? All right? And he's talking about how we are to live in relationship with other Christians. Okay?
Right.
So what does he say here? Be kind and compassionate to
one another.
Who's the one another? Our fellow Christians, right? Why does he need to tell us that? Yeah. Because we don't always do it very well, do we?
And notice how many times it's something about anger and bitterness and rage.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's not right.
But yet, how often does that happen within the Lord's church?
If you don't believe the way I do, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
La, la, la.
So we need to be kind and compassionate with one another. And the reason for that kindness and compassion, the reason it's required is because, again, we're not always going to be at our best. So we need to show some compassion. You know, I'm having a bad day. I need compassion for you, from you, okay? And I know then I get that from you, then you know what? When I know you're having a bad day, I'm going to be compassionate to you. And then finally, forgive. Who?
One another.
Same group of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Forgive one another. excuse me. Just as
Christ
forgave
you.
All right. We're out of time and I got to stop.